time to What's On Your Mind. I'm Steve Bach, along with my co-host Scott Hennen on a myriad of stations across the Upper Great Plains, including 910 KCJB in Minot, 1460 KLTC in Dickinson, K-Fire 550 in Bismarck and Mandan, 1100 The Flag in Fargo, and AM 1090 The Flag in Tioga. I am Steve Bach, along with Scott Hennen, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We want to know what's on your mind. Joining us now, of course, the breaking news. Anybody that's been following the tragedy down in Oklahoma, we've got Ken Johnson, news director for KOKC Radio in Oklahoma City. Ken, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning to you. I'm also on the phone with San Diego, so I'm going to talk to you guys at the same time, if that's all right. I'm talking about the development of the storm. It began southwest of Oklahoma City about a quarter till three, as best I remember. The thing began to intensify, broadened its base. It became what they were calling, have nicknamed, the grinding tornado, with a base of almost a mile. And it followed the path almost identically to a path that it followed in 1999. It did hit several elementary schools. One of the elementary schools basically sustained damage, but all of the children were safe. It hit another elementary school in which estimates are anywhere around 10 children. Again, that's still a fluid number. In this line of work, you know, we're in fluid numbers at this point. Young children apparently pulled out of the building, and some of them did indeed drown. Still in a search and rescue effort right now, and basically we're anticipating to get an update on the death count. The last count we had, there was some confusion about our death count. Initially, it had been at 51. They now say at the medical examiner's office that there may have been some double counting. Not quite sure how you do that, but they did. And last word is 24. But the word is that they do anticipate more fatalities. One of my son's friends had a niece and nephew that who were very young, an infant child, and his sister, the niece, along with their parents, they all perished in a cooler inside a convenience store there in Moore, as that structure was simply leveled flat. You know, you oftentimes hear that the coolers are the safest place to be, and generally they are, but for something like this F4 tornado, it is very strong. Right now, again, we're still trying to, we have National Guard here, Red Cross, numerous shelters set up to provide feeding and encouragement. This is not the first time that Moore and South Oklahoma City have been racked by a tornado. Certainly won't be the last, but the sting is the young children, guys.
You know, how could it not be? Ken, I know you're juggling interviews with both San Diego and us here in the Heartland, so I'll just try and quickly ask a question. How does this compare? I mean, you've seen a lot of tornadoes in Tornado Alley. How is this one different?
They're asking if how this compares. The comparison is that the damage seems to actually be even worse than what we had in 1999. Structure is completely flattened. And some are even saying that it looks almost like Joplin. So we definitely had a lot more damage, a lot more death. And, at this point, as far as how the public can help, if you have a computer or a cell phone, contacting the Red Cross and donating, just a $10 bill could provide the folks with just the necessary elements to try to get their lives back. I cannot imagine the grief that you must be feeling inside the bowels of your heart, the feeling of losing a child and having to make funeral plans. Guys, can you imagine what that would feel like? And that's what they're looking at doing here today, and going back to where you've saved and worked, that all of your possessions are gone, but you do have your life and you do have the future. So that's why we're Americans. And that's what we are here to do, is to stay optimistic and keep on. But kind of a dark day here in central Oklahoma.
Ken, initial reports were the fact that it was an EF4 tornado, given the devastation that was there. What are the odds of that being upgraded to an EF5?
Any anything at this point is possible, but you know, we have several weather experts in this area, and we also have the University of Oklahoma Weather Center, and they have a lot of folks that are very skilled in that. There is a possibility that it could be upgraded, but at this point, I think they're saying it's still a notch below the nastiest that it can be.
The National Weather Service said that they were tracking this system for since Sunday, actually, and then this tornado, this massive tornado, just spawned very quickly. What were some of the reports out of the National Weather Service in Norman as far as warnings in advance of this system and warnings that had been out maybe since Sunday, and then this system just spawned this massive tornado?
You know, that's the trickiness of weather in the Midwest. The most difficult part of this was happening right as school was getting ready to adjourn. They kept the kids in. They did the best they could. Many of our schools, after the 1999 killer tornado, installed safe rooms and reinforced hallways and took precautions. But this school, I'm not sure, you know, I'm sure that they had, some type of safe room, but, to try to, protect all the kids against the, storm of this, magnitude, apparently was pretty impossible.
Yeah, you know, I was amazed in hearing some of the stories recounted firsthand from the teachers, Ken. By the way, we're talking with Ken Johnson, who's news director at KOKC in, Oklahoma City, and covering, obviously, this, story that has gripped the nation, in hearing some of the stories from the teachers that they were like literally in the hallway. It would seem to me in Tornado Alley that you would have a little more precautions. What is the norm in schools for protection from the tornadoes, Ken?
Normally they will put them in the hallway, or if they have one of those pre-designed safe rooms or a reinforced facility like a gym that's reinforced to certain standards, they'll put them in there. But generally, if there's not a safe room, they go in the hallway that's away from the glass, and that's the center and the lowest part of the building. So that's considered to be the strongest part of the building. I'm sure there are engineering experts out there that would probably disagree with that, but that's what we've heard over the years, and that's the practice that we handle.
You know, I also heard something about, and you mentioned too, that some of the children drowned. So would they have been in a basement? What do we know about that?
No, apparently we have like a pond that's near that school. And, you know, after the roof of the school was ripped off, apparently the young victims, some of them were tossed into a pond. So, and that has happened in the past a little more on a limited basis. But, no, they were not in a basement.
Horribly tragic scene in Oklahoma and down around Oklahoma City in the suburbs. Ken, not only were multiple elementary schools hit, but also the medical facilities. Where are things standing as far as the medical facilities being able to serve the public that were injured in this event?
A lot of the folks are being treated at our University of Oklahoma campus hospital in Oklahoma City. Many of those are there. Then we have Norman Regional Hospital, which has multiple campuses. Folks are being treated there as well. And as I mentioned, regrettably, the safe bet is that this death toll will be rising.
And again, the glimmer of a little bit of good news is that for now, at least, it's been downgraded. 51, the previous number, now 24, including 7 children. But do you expect that to rise, Ken, considerably?
Absolutely. That's the feeling I get talking with the medical examiner's spokespeople. I have a feeling that they have a few more victims that are going to be, an autopsy conducted. And I think that the numbers will rise when the governor has her news conference at noon central here today.
I can't help getting the image of parents searching for children at schools out of my head. Do we know of all the children and parents connected and accounted for at this point?
To the best of our knowledge, yes. And it was a sight that would put a lump in your throat, even the toughest guy out there, seeing these mothers and fathers running toward the campus to find out about their children. It was just amazing.
Ken, out of every tragedy, there's always some heroic stories, and I know the people out there are still settling in on what's happened and are in the recovery process and still trying to find victims and put things back together. I'm sure there's quite a few good stories that are coming out of Oklahoma City today.
Yeah, I have a bare-bones bit of information regarding that. One teacher at Briarwood Elementary in South Oklahoma City and Moore area, She lay down on top of her six of her students to keep them safe, and they all survived. That's what you call sacrificial love.
No kidding. Ken Johnson, news director at KOKC, thanks for the first-hand report. Our thoughts and prayers with everyone down there. We appreciate the first-hand report.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. All right, we'll take a quick break. My gosh, a story gripping the nation, understandably. 800-228-0550. We'll talk about it. What's on your mind? Straight ahead with Steve Bakken. I'm Scott Hannon. Don't go away.
You're listening to What's on Your Mind with Steve Bakken and Scott Hannon. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you been on Leech Lake, Minnesota's third largest lake, some of the best walleye fishing on the planet? Have you been to Walker, Minnesota? Have you seen the historic Chase on the Lake Resort? Folks, it's a premier Minnesota resort, voted that way time and time again. The lodging, absolutely incredible. The 502 restaurant and bar, well known. The Comprador Aveda Spa, the bowling alley, the amenities, it's absolutely incredible. How about this? One of Minnesota's premier restaurants right now is yours for $69 any room, any night. That's right. This is a fabulous facility. Check it out online, chaseonthelake.com. Use the promo code SCOTT and get the $69 rate before May 23rd. You must hurry. Chaseonthelake.com, promo code SCOTT. Or call them at 888-CHASE-06. That's 888-242-7306. And tell them Scott sent you to Chase on the Lake, Leech Lake, Walker, Minnesota.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty sales center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes sales center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, May 17, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1,377.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,413.11, $706.55 for a half ounce, or $353.28 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,413.11, $706.55 and $353.28.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Welcome back. 800-228-0550. You know, it's tornado season, Steve, so I think you hear about these stories and it's impossible not to be attracted to, you know, the different stories that happen out of them. But I think this one is in a different category just because of the schools involved. And any parent imagining that pain of a child being at a school that you know has been devastated, and, you know, are they safe? Are they not? Where are they? There's a story of a teacher that brought a child out, and there's a photo in front page of a lot of papers across the country, including the Oklahoman, of two teachers bringing children out of this school that's just a pile of rubble behind. And the teacher talked about it was a neighborhood school, so okay, you know, where's your house? And as they look around, they point over to, you know, again, a pile of rubble. Can you imagine that? I mean, I think that's why this one's maybe a little bit different than other tornado stories we hear about elsewhere. Just imagining that parent-child fear, you know, after an event like this yesterday afternoon.
You know, when you see some of the pictures around the area there, and all you see is a few pieces of wood, a little bit of insulation, and that's really it. That's all there is left of this community that has had a history of getting slammed with tornadoes in the past as well. The storm in 1999 was the strongest sustained winds ever recorded at 302 miles per hour. That tornado hit that community as well. And, people that rebuild a community like that, I mean, they'll rebuild, and the town will come back because that's what happens. It's just, that's what we do in this country and when tragedy faces us. Let's go to the phone, 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Ed, what's on your mind today?
How's it going, guys?
Good, sir.
Good, Ed.
Years back when I was going to Catholic school in Fargo, I went to St. Anthony's. They have the school behind the church, and one thing that they always taught us is in a tornado, they had a tunnel between the two, get down to the tunnel. They'd have the entire school down there. Now, you know, I don't know how many schools or how many districts have thought of this, but even if they made just strictly a tornado tunnel or a bunker or something, that might be one way to keep the kids and teachers safe, right? I don't know if I'm the only one that's heard of this or thought of this or,
That's one thing I thought about right away. I mean, just in Tornado Alley, you'd think there'd be, a better way to protect kids. On the other hand, when you heard Ken Johnson, KOKC, earlier talk about the fact that at one of these places that the children were literally pulled out of the school and in a pond, at that level of devastation, I'm not sure any safe room probably is going to help. But I hear you, Ed. I thought the same thing, and so easy to Monday morning quarterback these things and just say, my gosh, in Tornado Alley, is there not a better way to protect kids? Tough deal.
Definitely.
Thanks for the phone call, Ed.
Thank you,
thank you very much for letting us know what's on your mind. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. From what my understanding is, a lot of the way homes are built, I've got a friend that's a realtor down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and because of the soil and stuff, it's different than we have here. A lot of the construction's on grade. One of the selling points for homes, Scott, is people that do have storm shelters built in or safe houses or bunkers built into their homes. That's a big selling point when you're living in Tornado Alley. I mean, I remember the elementary school I went to, we didn't have a tornado shelter per se, but the school was built back in the 50s, which harkens back to the Cold War. We actually had a bomb shelter, a bunker that was in the school. So that was our safe room if there was ever a weather event.
I heard Senator Jim Inhofe from Oklahoma earlier saying one of the needs they have there is more, sturdy safe room or storm shelter type facilities within schools. So I think it is an issue. And you're right. I heard about, stories of folks that went over to neighbors because they had a storm shelter and they weathered the storm within a storm shelter that a particular neighbor had. But it seems to me that if I lived in Tornado Alley where, they compare, F4 and F5 tornadoes and the level of devastation in these communities from decade to decade, I'd want to have one for sure. It's just a tragic deal. By the way, later in the program, we haven't mentioned this yet, but we do have some guests that will be joining us on different topics. Rich Wardner, the Senate Majority Leader, Al Carlson, the House Majority Leader, will join us to recap the legislative session here a little later on in the hour. Take your calls to talk about the session that was. Been a lot of chatter about that, so we look forward to that. Also, Mark Hintemeyer will be here. Mark's a Moorhead City Council member, and he did not like the North Dakota Chamber's billboard campaign to attract business from Minnesota, that billboard that we talked about a lot yesterday, North Dakota Open for Business. He was one Moorhead city official that didn't like it. We'll give him a chance to tell
apparently
us why.
Apparently he thinks that's fighting words. I don't know why. Did you watch any of the Minnesota legislative session wrapping up?
You know, I saw coverage of it. I didn't like you get up in the middle of the night and watch it. But I think you're a geek now. I think anybody that thought North Dakota ended a little messy might think differently now after watching Minnesota.
A $2 billion tax hike passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. there was every kind of tax increase you can imagine proposed at one time or another, from snack taxes to cigarette taxes to, you know, you name it.
They're everybody on your wallet. Whether or not you were happy with the legislative session this time around in North Dakota, raise your hand if you'd like to live in Minnesota.
Yeah, I saw. I forget which commentator made the point that no matter how you boil it down, the four words that will be the most prevalent headline coming out of this Minnesota legislative session is "You will pay more."
Yeah, but Scott, the difference is, should we so choose, we actually have the money to write those checks, where Minnesota does not. Not that we should spend that money, because some of the spending, I think, in this legislative session was way out of line. But, this is coming from a state that is on the verge of bankruptcy. And I'll throw that out there. Minnesota's getting broke. And by raising the taxes,
getting
which
broke?
They're doing, they are broke, but they're on the precipice of being bankrupt, not dissimilar from California. When you start raising the taxes at that rate to try to cash checks that you shouldn't have written in the first place, all you're going to do is drive residents and drive businesses out, and that's going to erode your tax base. You're going to have less money coming in. So what are you going to do? The answer, apparently, for Minnesota's side is raise those taxes even higher. At what point is nobody going to be able to live or do business in Minnesota?
Since we have listeners in many of these states, why not ask? North Dakotans, Minnesotans, South Dakotans, Montanans, what's the best state for business and why? It's one question we have today. Also, with the legislative leaders here, was the North Dakota legislative session a success? Especially compared to this mess in Minnesota. Do you think differently now? Let us know. Obviously, the tornado's on our minds as well. Did you know there was a Democratic senator, happens to be from Rhode Island, that actually got on the Senate floor yesterday, Steve, and blamed Republicans for the tornado because they oppose global warming? Can you believe that?
I thought we cleared this up with the National Weather Service guy last week.
JP. Number one, I understand people are going to have those feelings, but it is amazing to me that someone would take a situation like this and then politicize it. Why is it happening? By the way, this person went to the Senate floor yesterday. Anyway, more on that and other news of the day coming up on What's On Your Mind. We'll tackle the North Dakota legislative session recap next. Don't go away.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
It's time to get real.
It's time to prepare.
Economic collapse.
Social unrest.
Natural disasters.
Government takeover.
UN takeover.
Are you ready?
Ready?
Ready? Get ready at the Social Prepper Trade Show in Dalton, Georgia.
June 6th, 7th, and 8th.
3 massive days to learn self-reliance and emergency preparedness. Exhibitors ranging from survival, solar, power, food, protection, guns, ammo, disaster preparation products, hunting, and much more. Seminars by Dr. Wallach, Robert Henry, Raymond Blake Hogshead, Trish Deer, Sandy Hall, Rick Austin, Survivor Jane, and more of our nation's experts on survival and preparedness.
Don't miss the Social Prepper Trade Show.
June 6th through 8th, Dalton, Georgia. For discount tickets, prize raffle, and info, go to socialprepper.com.
Enter code GCN for 50% online ticket discount purchase.
the Social Prepper Trade Show.
Presented in part by GCN.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are all natural, non-GMO, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers in Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.
This is What's on Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hinnon, and our telephone numbers 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550 are the way for you to tell us what's on your mind. We are obviously thinking a lot about the tornado and the devastation in Oklahoma City, but we're also covering a couple of other topics, including the North Dakota legislative session, which it hadn't been all that long since it's wrapped up and things have settled down a little bit. Get a chance to sit down with two leaders, Al Carlson, the House Republican leader, and Rich Wardner, the Senate Republican leader, are here together with us today on the program to answer your questions and comments about the legislative session. Al is with us in studio. Rich is on the phone. Al, nice to see you.
Yeah, good morning, Scott.
Are you all rested up now?
You know, a lot better. I had a meeting yesterday in Bismarck, but now I'm back home to normal again.
So you're in a, that's quite a schedule you guys keep. Rich, how about you? All rested up and back in a little more of a normal routine?
Yes, I am. I'm kind of getting back to normal.
That is a torrid pace you guys keep. I don't know if folks understand the level of work that goes into 80 days, every other year. It's quite a pace. I mean, one crazier than ever, Al?
Oh, yeah. The ends are always exciting. But, you know, last two sessions we finished in 77 and 78 days. So it isn't like we went, you know, it sounds like it's we went forever in 80 days. We usually average in the upper to high 70s. So, you know, we went an extra day, we ran her against the clock, but the product that you finish is what's important.
The pace, though, the entire time seemed to be, that you had to pack a lot into those 80 days, more so this year. Is that just a product of a lot happening in North Dakota?
Absolutely. A busy economy meant for a busy session, and because of that, we spent a lot of money that we've never had before, except for the busy economy, and we had to respond to what that economy did to the state of North Dakota, and I think in the end our response worked out pretty well.
Al, Rich, Steve Bakken here. Given all that's going on with the North Dakota economy, realistically, are we able to continue this legislative session every other year for 80 days? Or is the growth of our economy and the breadth of what's going on in North Dakota overtaking some of that?
So I personally think that we probably need to monitor that. But, you know, we put a lot of triggers and contingencies in our budget so that if certain things happen, we have a backup plan to take care of it. For example, if there's more rigs drilling in the patch than we anticipate, then we probably would trigger more people from natural resources to be hired to go out there and take care of them. So, and then also for funding, we do that too. Right now, I think we're fine. However, we can always be brought back into special session if there's something major that needs to be done. But I just want to say that I really believe that the people of North Dakota get a big bang for their dollar in the North Dakota legislature, because I want to tell you, when it starts, we hit the ground running, and we ran until the end. Everybody was working hard and focused to get the job done. And in the end, it's a lot cheaper than many states, which meet every year and then go on and before the end up.
Yeah, I agree with Rich. I think that I like the 80 days every other year. And so far, our biennial budgets have worked out really well. In my 20 years in the legislature, we've only been called back to 3 special sessions, and 2 of those have been for redistricting. So, you know, we don't get called back very often because the books balance. We leave the departments in with enough flexibility to react to the economy, and I think things are working well. I'd hate to see us be there every year.
Let's have each of you share your highlights, and obviously if you have any questions or comments about the session, certainly welcome for our guests, Senator Rich Wardner and Representative Al Carlson, Republican leaders, led the North Dakota legislative session, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Rich, if you had to name your top 3 highlights from the session, what would you list?
Well, first of all, we put $3 billion. It was $3.1 billion into infrastructure in the state of North Dakota. And when I say infrastructure, I'm talking about roads and I'm talking about water, getting good quality water to many communities, plus flood control. Those are the main infrastructure things that I'm talking about. Also, there were cities that got some sewers and water towers and wastewater treatment. But those are things that are going to be there a long time. That's one-time spending. That isn't something we have to sustain. Now, will we have those needs in 2 years? We may, but it's not something that we have to sustain. Also, the energy impact that we got to Western North Dakota, I want to point out that was over $1 billion to take care of the needs out here. Do they have more needs than that? Yes, they do, but it takes a while to spend that much money. Plus the fact, property tax and income tax. I heard you guys talking about Minnesota finished up. They had $1 billion tax increase. Well, we had $1 billion property tax and income tax combined relief to the people. Plus the fact, I want to just say that we're putting money away. And we're not putting it away just because we want to store the money away. We're putting it away so that at some point, and that's the legacy fund, that someday the earnings from that will be able to replace, you know, tax revenue that we can continue to provide the services of government without raising taxes.
Al, what are some of your highlights? You mentioned some of the taxes that are out there. Give us your top 3. What are your highlights from this legislative session?
Well, when we started the session, Steve, we said we were going to do 3 things. We were going to fund our priorities, we were going to build a strong reserve, and we were going to return some of the surplus back to the people. And all 3 of those points, I think we accomplished very well. I agree with Rich. I think our investment in infrastructure, if you want a booming economy, you've got to make sure you reinvest in infrastructure. That $3 billion will pay us spades over years to come. The House and the Senate, in the end, agreed on a really good tax relief package on property tax of $850 million, of $250 million for income tax and corporate income tax. And we have positioned ourselves as a state where people want to come and live and people want to do business. So that was really a plus. But if you look at the other areas, some of the major accomplishments, there were record fundings into higher education, record funding into K-12, record funding into highways, and people say, golly, you guys spend like drunken sailors out there. And I shouldn't say that because all the Navy guys get mad at me, but it's not meant to be derogatory. But we did spend a lot of money, but we spent the money we had. When we left, we left $750 million in our strategic investment fund that'll be there next time. We left an ending fund balance. We left our budget stabilization fund in good shape. And we didn't spend it all, but we spent it wisely. Now, you can... I listened to the minority party the other day. I was kind of interested. I thought maybe they served in a different session than we did because Johnny Raincloud was out and they thought the sky was falling and we didn't fund everything enough. Now, a lot of my caucus felt we spent enough and that was fine. We left it in good shape. So those would be my highlights, would be the fact that we took care of the human services, record spending. The people that can't take care of themselves, we took care of. The kids that need education, we took care of. Higher education we took care of, the infrastructure we took care of, and we built a really strong rainy day fund for the future. So there's a lot of big accomplishments there. There's so many. We dealt with the DUI issues, the Second Amendment rights issues, the animal cruelty issues. So there was a lot of things that happened in that session. Like Rich said, we hit the first day with our tennis shoes on fire, and we kept burning until the last day.
What's your response to Lord Omdahl's statement that a big chunk of the tax cut is going out of state?
You know what? Those guys hire people, and that's a philosophical difference between the parties.
Those guys hire people? What do you mean?
Walmart, Microsoft, Target, Case IH, Melro Bobcat. They all hire people, pay benefits, pay health and life insurance in a lot of cases, pay them a good salary, and they are the engine that helps us drive, and those are the type of business. We want more of those guys, not less of them. So I think Lloyd missed the boat completely there.
So in other words, no apology needed there. You're saying those are dollars that impact the economy
those,
as well.
Those that pay it got some back, and if you didn't pay any, you didn't get any back. It was pretty simple.
Rich, you want to respond to Mr. Omdahl's assessment?
I would say that those companies are investing in North Dakota, and as Al said, that's what we want. And if they're investing in the state, so why shouldn't they share in some of the benefits too? So I don't have a problem with that. We hear a lot about Bentonville, Arkansas, that all the tax breaks are going there, and that's not really true at all. We're making North Dakota a good place to do business.
What of our corporations are small businesses in North Dakota, and those guys all got a break. So it really worked out well. And let me tell you what, we've been for years, Scott, trying to get our corporate income tax rate under 5% because nationwide that's kind of the benchmark where people want to be when they're looking and searching for places to open for business. And now we're at 4.53% on our highest rate. We're finally down there where we wanted to be. And do we need to continue to get rid of them all together? You could make that debate next time. But the point is, every time we've cut our taxes on corporate and personal, we've raised more money. Ronald Reaganomics works.
Al, Rich, given the buzz that has still been around there for Measure 2 coming back with the property tax relief, do you think there was a difference between what the citizens of North Dakota wanted concerning property taxes? Was there a difference between relief and reform that you could tell?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there was some relief and there was some reform. Maybe not enough reform, but, you know, sometimes these things take a little bit longer. I did do this. I did make a presentation to a group. And so in the city of Dickinson, I figured out with a 23% increase in valuations in the city of Dickinson, along with the new legislation, people's property taxes will still go down. They'll be down about $250 for a $100,000 home. And it gets progressively more as the home gets a higher price. So there will still be relief. You know, it takes time to debate it and to make sure that we get everybody on board.
Al, the House passed some measures that ultimately weren't included that would have been a little tighter controls on the local spending. Does that worry you that without those, it will be more likely you'll see a Measure 2 like effort on the next ballot?
You know, when you take $1 to $850 million, which we put out there for property tax relief, $857, that's about a 48% contribution to the property tax of the people of North Dakota. Now, the key is to get it back to the guy dollar for dollar. And we understand that we have an interim study, Scott. This is a work in progress that's going to look specifically at the tie between assessments and mills and why, because it's an automatic inflator for every community, and it's good to have a growing community.
Hold that thought. We'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Your thoughts on the North Dakota legislative session that was with Rich Wardner and Al Carlson joining us on What's on Your Mind, 800-228-0550. More after this.
We'll be right back with more of What's on Your Mind after these messages.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kemp French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla.
See these quality homes at a Lichty Home Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Soybeans. North Dakota soybeans. Did you know soybean production has expanded to the west and the north in our state over the last decade? There's now 6,000 soybean producers in North Dakota, contributing to a checkoff program. And that investment is paying significant dividends in the areas of research, domestic and international marketing, promotion and education. Through the involvement of both the North Dakota Soybean Council and the association, you receive timely and accurate news and information of value and your pulse on the programs underway to help you become more successful and profitable. Find out more at ndsoybean.org. ndsoybean.org. Subscribe to the North Dakota Soybean Grower and find out more about the North Dakota Soybean Council. Better opportunities, delivering you valuable news and information to North Dakota's soybean producers and all of North Dakota's agriculture community. Check out their website, ndsoybean.org, for more. ndsoybean.org.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is What's on Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hennen. We are chatting with two legislative leaders, Rich Warner, Senator from Dickinson, and Representative Al Carlson, who is the House Majority Leader from Fargo. 800-228-0550 to ask your questions. We were going to the break, and you were just starting to explain another way at local control. Want to finish that thought, Al?
Well, we originally had passed caps out of the House, and we sent them to the Senate. In the end, it was probably better that those caps didn't get put on, because a 3% cap sounds really good, but it's automatically a 3% increaser. You know, we need the citizens more engaged in the property tax situation locally, because we don't assess it or collect it at the state level, but we've decided to become involved in it.
So, and how are you involved? When you say, you know, you want the $850-odd million dollar for dollar in relief showing up, but and the property tax relief of each and every homeowner, how do you ensure that happens?
Well, we're going to have to get, and we did a few things where we're going to get budgets to be baseline information, and if it's over, you know, they have to send a notice out to people if it's higher than the baseline. Again, just a few common sense things. People can still throw the letter in the garbage can. But you got to get it into dollars and percentages, Scott, so you understand what your that your property tax went up 6%. Your property tax just didn't go up 4 mils. And in the areas like Dickinson, where Rich is at, where the rapid growth and evaluations, our system is all tied to evaluations, and they have to be assessed every year. And if And if and they equally assess that if they have a similar house across the street goes up, so does yours. So we need to make sure people understand that there's automatic inflators, and a booming economy is a good economy, but it's going to force automatically those property tax values up. And when they go up, the mills follow them. And when the mills follow them, they're going to collect more money, even if they don't raise the mills. So we've got a whole interim that we're going to start. Senator Cook and his committee that we'll set up in the interim is really going to take a good look and see how we break this tie between mills and get to dollars and percentages and local involvement in the process. The state is committed for the next two bienniums with $850 million through the education funding and through a separate line item back to the people. And we wanted to get there. So we're committed to keep working on this. I think what we've done, the people are going to see an amazing difference in their property tax bills for the coming year.
We're talking with Senators Rich Wardner and Representative Al Carlson. I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hannon on What's on Your Mind. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Gil, what's on your mind today?
Hello?
Gil, go ahead. What's on your mind today?
First of all, I'd like to compliment the legislature for doing what I thought was a really decent job. But I got a question for Al and for Rich both. The thing that's going to drive this initiated measure again is the fact that really nothing has been done to curb the growth in property tax. And I think we need to have something done there. And what's being done in that area?
Rich, you go first.
Well, you know, the big thing is, I know in schools we do have a 12% cap. That helps somewhat. We do have limits in the general fund budgets, and we have limits in special funds for education. Now, with the legislation we passed, it's 60 mils is the local tax limit for schools. Counties and cities have this. But the big thing that he's talking about, Gil's talking about, is the expansion of the mill. The mill is worth more when you increase the valuation. And that's what Al was talking about, that we're going to be doing some more study on that and try to come up with a better way of doing it. I would like to make this comment. In Dickinson, North Dakota, where the demand for people is so great that the city police department has a hard time hanging on to people and employees for the city. The school district has a hard time. For us to go and tap them and say, you can't raise any more money, pretty soon they can't even compete with the oil industry in hiring people. That is handicapping those people. Now, if they need the money, they assess it. If they don't need the money, they don't. So I hesitated to put a 3% cap on when it would not allow the local political subs to get the revenue they needed to hire people.
Well, the argument there from Mark Owens and others was obviously they could always raise it. They just had to do it with the approval of the people, which they would argue is the ultimate control. Another call waiting. Mark, for our guest, wants to talk about spending in the session. Just a short time left in the segment. Mark, so quickly to your question.
Yeah, I think it was Mr. Wardner that said the North Dakota citizens get a bang for their buck from the legislature. However, I think that they hit the ground running. I think he should have said they hit the ground spending and then spent and spent and spent until there was a deficit. And these people say they're opposed to big government tax and spend policies. What a joke.
All right, Al,
concern about the environment and plants and animals in the oil patch. But when it comes to protecting the elderly from the cost of rising rent, oh, Mr. Casper, Representative Casper, said it's unconstitutional to protect the elderly.
All right, Al, I'll let you take that one about a minute before
I
break.
We did not spend ourselves into debt. We left ourselves with good balances. Did we spend a lot of money? Yes. I would care to wager that when you look at the housing programs we put forward, we did more than we've ever done in trying to make loans available for affordable housing, for apartment buildings, for all sorts of things to address those people. And we don't want them to have to get out of their house or not be able to stay in their communities. But on the other hand, you have to decide what the role of government is, Scott. And is it the government to own all the housing and to have it subsidized for every citizen? Or is it to make programs available that the private sector can build those and with some guidelines to keep the rents down? I think we did a pretty good job on the housing. I cannot comment on Representative Casper's comment because I don't ever remember hearing that.
All right, more after the break. Stay tuned, folks. Don't go away. This is What's on Your Mind. If you need a building for any reason, you need Bach and Bruce. We're talking hangars. Yeah, as in put airplanes in them. We're talking industrial uses. We're talking garages, workshops, trucking, agriculture, horse barns, arenas, storage buildings, warehouse. They built churches. They built schools. They built fire and police stations. So guess what? If you call them and get a free quote, you're going to see why thousands and thousands of people in the Bakken every day are finding out why Legacy Steel Buildings are the industry leader in providing superior quality, service, and durability at the most competitive prices. But here's the deal. Everybody tells you that, right? It sounds like a sales pitch. Call Bach and Bruce Anker, and the team at Legacy Steel Buildings, 800-237-9620. Bruce, his brother Wayne, and their family have been building buildings in this part of the world forever. They'll help you out. 800-237-9620. Tell them Scott sent you.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
There's been a disaster, and most of you don't even realize the terrible danger we're in. Alex Jones has warned you for years to get a good food storage. We thought the danger was drought, or food delivered to our gas tanks, or our food sold to other countries, or food so expensive that only those on food stamps and welfare could afford it. But we have just experienced the most effective way to lose your freedom, liberty, and security without even a fight. Government regulation. After a 160-year tradition of self-reliance, the do-it-yourself and charitable Mormon food storage canneries in half the country are forced to shut down due to excessive government regulations. Grow your own food, more regulations. If you've ever been warned to get food while you can, this is it. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.